Bishasavi Mary.
Northampton Kollel, share given on Sunday, 23rd of October 2011, Kafe Tishri, Toshin Ein Beis, share given by Gershon Heppner on Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches, and we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. Thank you. And remember, we're in the middle of David HaMelech describing various ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has found to look after him, to rescue him from enemies, different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. And in particular, we've been looking at various natural disasters of the last few Pesukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends all natural disasters in order to rescue David HaMelech and any other tzaddikim, but in particular David, from various enemies. And over the last few Pesukim, we've had earthquakes, volcanoes, and hurricanes. Been quite exhausting, and now we're about to tackle something new. Yeah. So, chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis. Yoshes Choshech Sisro. He makes darkness his concealment. I'm taking this translation straight from the Outscroll. So, chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis. Yoshes Choshech Sisro. He makes darkness his concealment. Sevivo Sov Sukoso. He has enveloped himself in his shelter, which are expressions for HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding himself. Chesh Chasmayim, darkness of water, Ovei Shechokim, thick clouds of the heavens. And we'll do Yud Gimel with this. Minuga Negdo, from the bright light that is with him or that is opposite him, Ovru Borod Vegachle Esh, hail and burning coals, fiery coals, pass through. So the idea is that that fiery coals and borod, hailstones, can pass through the clouds, thick clouds. Just to point out, on Pasuk Yud Gimel, you'll see that on the word Ovru there's an Esnachta. Now, although it's an esnachta, it's confused me for a long time. An esnachta is normally a pause, a comma. And of course, it confused me for a long time until I remembered that, of course, the neginus in Tehillim, coupled with the neginus in Mishle, and also the neginus in Eov, are quite different set of notes. And an esnachta in Tehillim does not necessarily denote a pause. So, and in fact, and then once I realized that, then it all made sense to me, because the word ovru, which means they passed, an pausal form would normally be ovaru. In fact, there's a pasuk in the second chapter of Yonah which finishes with the word ovaru. I think it's there. Second chapter of Yonah, I think it's there. And ovaru is a pausal form of ovru. Well, of course, this esnachta is not a pausal form. So ovav ovru goes together with the phrase borad v'gach leyesh, and it means that hailstones and fiery coals pass through his clouds. And it's all one long phrase. Okay, so take these two pasukim together. What's the idea of the pasuk? The idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself. Pasuk Yud Beis tells us that he hides himself. Yoshes Choshech Sisro, he places himself in darkness. He places his concealment in darkness. And Sevivo Sov Sukoso, a sukkah, of course, coming from the Shoresh Samachof Chof, which is to cover. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu covers himself, or envelops himself in his cover. The English in the art school is he envelops himself in his shelter. And Chesh Chasmayim, darkness of water. And then we're talking about thick clouds, which are dark. Like we've got quite a dark sky this morning, full of thick clouds. That's Chesh Chasmayim, Ovei Shechokim, the thick clouds, Shechokim of the heavens. Oh, so Rashi points out, let's start off with Rashi on that pasuk. Rashi explains that we're talking here about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he punished the Egyptians at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. We're just on Yud base, pasuk Yud base, yeah? The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Egyptians at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, what did he do? He hurled the Borod and Gachalei Eish, hailstones and fiery coals were hurled at them. He hurled these things at them at the time when they were on their way to the Yamsuf. Well, as the Egyptians were chasing after Klal Yisrael at the Yamsuf, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu chucked at them, the Gecholim, Gachleyesh, and what's the other one, and Borod. Yeah? And Rashi says, in case possibly your base could give you a false impression, possibly your base could make you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives or resides, probably a better word, resides in an area which is totally dark. Says Rashi, that's not the case. We can see from the next pasuk, Minuga Megdo, that no, on the contrary, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides, it's all brightness, which is, of course, denotes goodness. And that's Minoga Megdo, from the bright light that is with him or that is opposite him. And he hurled this Borod and Gachleyesh from the area of brightness. That's Minoga Megdo. That's how Rashi learns it. So in case you think that there is, in case you think that the area where HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides is dark, no, that's not the case. Minoga Megdo, there is bright light with him. And that's how Rashi connects these two psukim, Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Now, there's a very interesting piece of Targum on both of these pesukim. The Targum tells us Targum on Pesuk Beis, the Aches Mitrin Derava. What's this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Cheshchas Mayim and Ovish Chokim? Pesuk Beis finishes with expressions of water, Cheshchas Mayim, darkness of water, which are really dark, thick, dark clouds, and Ovish Chokim are again, thick clouds, shachakim of the skies. What is this business about thick clouds? What's all that about? So the Targum explains it. V'aches mitrin d'ra'ava al ami. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down mitrin d'ra'ava is what you might call gishmei bracha, rains of blessing. Rains which are a blessing al ami on his people. And that's what we learn from Cheshchas Mayim. Cheshchas Mayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after his people, Klal Yisrael. And at the same time, Umayin Takifin Min Richpas Anonim, likewise HaKadosh Baruch Hu hurls down huge amounts of water from Richpas Anonim, which means many, many clouds, to Kibla Al Rashi Ayah, which land on Rishoyim. So we have two different ideas of rain here. We've got Gishmei Bracha, which fall for Klal Yisrael, rain which is a Bracha, and also rain which is a Klala. Wonderful, learning this on the first day of the week of Parashas Noach. Yeah, we have it with the Mabul. So we have rain which is a Bracha, and we have rain which is a Klala, like we said in Tanis Geshen, with Bracha V'lele Klala, and Son Achaim V'lele Moves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes rain to fall, both types of rain. Rain which is a Bracha, for Klal Yisrael, Mitrin Dara'ava, and also rain which is a Klala, which is a Mabul, and which falls on Rishoyim, and the Targum finishes off, Min Rumei Da'olma, from the highest parts of the world, which is Ovei Shechokim, from the high parts of the heavens. The Targum on the next Pasuk is also very, very revealing. He explains that min zahar yakore, from the brightness yakore of his glory, anonishmaya avaru, the clouds of the sky. What happens? What passes through those clouds? Bimizofisa, with anger. What passes through? Begumrin denuru varata, which are burning coals. Begumrin denuru, which are the burning coals, and varadar, and hailstones, dol come in memory, which burn away, min memory, from his words, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So his words, he issues the command, that Borod should fall, and Gachalei Eish should fall, and so they do. But the amazing word in this Targum is Bimizofisa. Now that is not in the Pasuk. He says that from the bright light that is his glory, the clouds, that what passes through the clouds are the burning coals and the borod, but they pass through, and he adds in the word bimizofisa, with anger. That's the word that the Targum has added, and I was wondering, where does that word bimizofisa come from? And the only thing I can possibly think of is that he's interpreted it from the word ovru. Because ovru, which means they pass through, these things pass through the clouds, but you could also relate the word ovru to the word evra, which is anger. Evra, fazam, meshachas malachiroim, yeah? Yaakov is laughing, probably gives it here how I counted out on Saturday night. So Ovru is an expression of Evro. Evro is one of the words for anger. So maybe that's where the Targum interprets it from. Bimizofiso, with anger, Hakadosh Baruch Hu hurls these burning rocks and hailstones down on his enemies, in particular on the Egyptians. And that's done Bimizofiso, with anger. Why? From the word Ovru, which means anger. Yeah. Good. Okay, the Mitzvah David explains that we, going back to Pasuk Yud Beis, Yoshes Choshech Sistro, Hakadosh Baruch Hu places himself in darkness as a hiding place. What's that about? The Mitzvah David brings this, and the Radak brings it as well. The idea is Hakadosh Baruch Hu hides himself from Rasha'im. He doesn't want the Rasha'im to have an inkling about what's going on. They've rejected him. So he says, okay, you want to reject me? That's fine by me. You want to reject me? I'll hide myself. And all sorts of horrible things will happen, and you won't relate all those horrible things to me. You won't trace it back to me. You won't see it as the Yad Hashem. You'll put it down to natural disasters. You put it down to bad economy. Whatever it is, all these horrible things will happen. I'll punish you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll punish you. I'll punish the Rishoyim. And they won't realize. Say, don't worry. No, it's okay. I thought the door was open. It's okay. No, it's okay. I'll punish you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll punish the Rishoyim. And they won't realize. I'll punish you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll punish the Rishoyim, and they won't even realize. They won't trace it back to me. Why? Because Yoshev Choshech Sistro, Hashem hides himself away in darkness.
At Yom Suf, didn't the Egyptians cry that Hashem was fighting for them in Israel?
Could well be. I'm not aware of that.
The translation goes.
Where?
They recognize the Yad Hashem there, so they recognize the Yad Hashem there, but certainly could be
those who had a greater awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to begin with. But the general attitude is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to reject me, I'll hide myself away, which makes it much harder to do teshuva. If you don't trace punishments back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it makes it much harder to do teshuva. That's how the Mitzvah David learns, that's also how the Radak learns. And then when we have the phrase in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Minoga Negdo, that's the opposite. That's David HaMelech saying, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu having his bright light shining out to rescue me. So Yud Beis is the punishment for the Rishoyim of my enemies, and then Nogam Negdo is the bright light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses in order to protect me. And then Ovru Barad V'Gachleish, Hashem hurls these rocks and so on down towards the enemies. So that's how the Red Duck, that's how the Mitzvah Stavid learns the Pasuk. Yeah. The Radak comments on this Boraz V'Gachaleyesh, points out something which we're all very aware of from Midrashim Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is when it came to the plague of Borod in Mitzrayim, we understand that the Borod fell Ve'ish Mislakachas. Let's have a look at it. It's in Shmos chapter 10, Pasuk Kaf Dalet, where the Pasuk says, here we are, Vahi Borod, there was hailstones in Mitzrayim, Ve'ish Mislakachas B'Sicha Borod, with fire contained within the Borod. And the Medrash tells us how fire and ice made peace. In the, at home on Saturday night, we always call them
ice bombs.
Ice bombs, yeah. Borod is ice bombs, yeah. There's a Borod, Ve'ish Mislakachas B'Sicha Borod, with fire inside. They made Shalom between them. And that's exactly what we've got here as well. We've got Borod, V'Gachleish. The same sort of idea, very similar. And the Radak says it's a reference to the Borod that took place in Mitzrayim as well. Not just the Borod that fell on Mitzrayim, on the Egyptians as they were chasing Klal Yisrael towards the Yam Suf. Good. The Ibn Ezra points out something which I learned years ago from Cheskel, and that is that one of the major elements of the Borod in Mitzrayim was the sound. that was the most horrendous part of the Borod, was the sound within the Borod. The sound of the Borod falling and crashing, that was apparently more terrifying than maybe even more terrifying than the damage that the Borod actually did. Its bark was worse than its bite. And the Ibn Ezra points that out here as well, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hurls down Borod and Gachal Eish on the enemies, very often it's the sound which is more terrifying than anything else. Oh, let's come back to the Malbim, where the Malbim, the Malbim on this last few pesukim has got a whole derech in the, over the last few pesukim, and I've said this on pretty much every single shiur because it's each pasuk echoes this. Mama says how David HaMelech says, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "I've been attacked by my enemies and you rescued me. How did you rescue me? With an earthquake. Have you sent an earthquake and that put the enemy off their stroke and saved me from the enemy? However, the earthquake in its turn did some damage. And that damage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescued me from that damage, how? By sending something like a volcano, which nullified the earthquake but caused its own problems in its wake. And the problems of the volcano were solved by a hurricane, which solved the problems of the earthquake but caused more problems." Really goes back in the last few pesukim of all these natural disasters. So, and the Malbim says, follows it through in our pasuk as well. What have we got in our pasuk? He calls it an electric storm. We've got the Yoshes Choshech Sisros, who this was together. Cheshchas Mayim Ovei Shechokim is a reference to heavy rains. And then Minoga is a bright light, which he defines, and I think I answered this correctly, as a rainbow. Yeah, he turns it. I didn't write down the Lashon of the Malbim. I think he refers to it as a rainbow, and he says it's the light that you see through the rain. Something like that, which might be a rainbow. I'm not sure, because he doesn't use the classic word for rainbow, which should be keshes, this week's Sedra, Nach. Yeah? But he calls it the light through the rain. Maybe it's a rainbow, I'm not sure. And he refers to sulfur and something else which I couldn't track down. He uses the word electri, an electric storm. He says the boros and the gachaleyesh, he refers to as an electric storm. And he also uses the word which is clearly a Yiddish word or a German word, and I couldn't track it down, Zolpeter. You wonder what that might be? Zolpeter? Zolpeter? I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure if it's sulfur or something like that. But it's something like that. Zolpeter.
Saltpeter.
What's
saltpeter?
That?
Is a chemical. Saltpeter and sulfur make gunpowder.
Thank you. What's it called in English?
Saltpeter.
How do you spell that?
Saltpeter.
S-A-L-T.
Yeah,
saltpeter. Saltpeter. I looked at, I had my dictionary out, I was looking for it under all different spellings, and I didn't go for saltpeter. I looked up S-O-L and S-U-L, I didn't look at S-A-L. All right, so there we are.
Saltpeter and
Don't tell Norman we've got a report. Yeah. Rav Shimshon on this topic says, he also goes on to speak about how the people who choose to ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rishonim who choose to ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu again will hide himself away. And he learns it from the words in Pasuk Yud Beis, Sevivo Sov Sukoso. Now, Sevivo Sov is those who are the area in proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that which surrounds HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, that's an open awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A total awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what is meant by the word Sevivo Sov. Says Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch, Sevivo Sov becomes Sukoso, his hidden, his covered area. So he says that's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding himself away. Sevivo Sov will become Sukoso. He'll cover himself up so that Rishonim fail to notice him. They choose not to notice him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go along with that and then allow them not to notice him. Oh, then he points out that really, even whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes, there's always the clouds with the silver lining. There's always a silver lining, and he points out that this cheshchas mayim and ove shechokim might well mean punishment rain. He said, but within that, punishment rain has a bracha as well, because ultimately it might well help. It will irrigate the ground thoroughly, and crops will eventually grow better for it. So that's how he learns from Ovei Shechokim, Cheshchas Mam Ovei Shechokim. And he says, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a punishment, always try to be cognizant that within the punishment there's also tov. I mean, ultimately a punishment has to be tov, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to set us on the straight and narrow path. But he says there's always an awareness, you can be aware of goodness within every punishment. The Rav Shimshon von Hirsch refers to Gachalei Eish as glowing scoria. And of course, I know what scoria meant. I looked that up. And it's, in my dictionary, calls it cellular lava, which didn't help me much more. But it's something to do with, it's obviously the lava, the liquid that will come out during an earthquake, volcano. Yeah. Cellular lava. And he also says that Gachalish could well be considered something like a meteorite. Which of course is a rock, which as it enters the Earth's atmosphere, it becomes luminous. So then he calls it, so these are the words that Rav Shimshon von Hirsch uses to describe the Gachalei Eish, borrowed from Gachalei Eish. He then points out a very interesting word on this word, Ovru. So we have in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ovru, Menoga Negdo, from the bright light, opposite him, Ovru, borrowed from Gachalei Eish. Now, says Rav Shimshon von Hirsch, classic Rav Shimshon von Hirsch, that the word Ovru, the root is Ayin Veis Reish, which is used to refer to a pregnancy. A woman who's pregnant is Mu'uberes. Ayin Veis Reish is to be pregnant. And he quotes the Pasuk in Eov chapter Kaf Aleph Pasuk Yud, I didn't actually keep it with my, but where you have Ayin Veis Reish, which means to a reference to pregnancy. Ayin Veis Reish also means to pass over something, or to pass out from within something else, to go from one area to another, to cross over something. And he says that's the whole idea. In a pregnancy, the fetus will eventually come out. And that's why Ayin Veis Reish means both to pass through something and also to be pregnant, because that is the destiny of the fetus, that it will eventually come out. He says it's also how you get the word Aver, which means Ayin Veis Reish, which is the surface. And he quotes the Pasuk in Shemos chapter Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tesvov, where the Luchos are described. Let's get this one. Shemos Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tesvov, where the Pasuk says, about the Luchos, that they are Luchos Kesuvim Mishnei Evrehem. The luchos were written on both surfaces, on both sides. Mizel, Mizeim, Kesuvim. They're written on both sides. So an Aver is a surface, which is the outermost area. It's the outer surface of something. So he says that's all about passing through, coming to the outermost surface area, and also a pregnancy, Ayin Veis Reish, because the fetus will eventually come out. Oh, he also relates it to Evra, anger. Why? Because it's an anger which a person cannot contain, and eventually it's let out of the person. He's so agitated that he bursts out in anger, and that's Evra, the anger which cannot be contained. It's amazing how Rosh Hashanah has learned Lashon HaKodesh. That's how he understood the Shiroshim.
Maybe upon forget, maybe it passes, maybe
subsides eventually. He didn't say that, but that's a nice try. Yeah, hopefully it subsides. Good. Okay. Let's have a look at the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Right, so we know how our chapter Yud Ches is paralleled in Shmuel Beis. You've all got bookmark there. And the pasuk you want is Shmuel Beis, and it's chapter Kaf Beis. And, my bookmark's there. Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and we're on pasuk Yud Beis as well. Vayoshes Choshech Sivivosov. So if you compare our two psukim, our posuk has Yoshes Choshech Sisro Sivivosov Sugaso, but the word Yoshes is given in the future tense, while in the posuk in Shmuel Beis is Vayoshes with the Vav HaHipuch, which makes it past tense. Vayoshes Choshech Sivivosov. And then we have another change. Chashras mayim ovei shechokim. In our pasuk we have cheshchas mayim. Thank you. In our pasuk continuum we've got cheshchas mayim, the darkness of the water, while in Shmuel Beis it's got chashras mayim. Now the word chashras is very topical because we've just had it in Teles Geshem. Chom chashras mayim besidko. Chom chashras mayim besidko in there. Tidkus, in due to the righteousness of all the others, chun show chaim, be gracious, chashras mayim, which is exactly what we got here in Shmuel Beis. So what does the word chashras actually mean? So Rashi gives three different explanations. Rashi there in Shmuel Beis gives three explanations of the word chashras. First explanation is that it's connected to the word kavara, kaf veis resh hay, which is a sieve. Now, I don't quite know how etymologically chashras, cheshin resh, relates to kvorah, kaf veis resh. I mean, they've both got a resh, of course, but the other consonants are quite different. So I'm not quite sure how that connection is. But it says chashras is a kvorah, is a sieve. Why? Because when it rains, the drops of water, you can imagine that the sky is a giant sieve and all the drops of water are coming out through that sieve. Yeah? And in fact, that relates very closely to Medrash, which we'll see soon, where the Medrash says that two drops of water never coalesce midair. Yeah? It's unbelievable, yeah? That two drops of water, they don't join midair. Each drop is kept totally separate from any other drop. I guess, maybe, it's hard to imagine. Maybe if the wind blows one drop into another drop, maybe it would happen. I don't know. But the Medrash says it doesn't happen. So that relates very closely to what Rashi in Shmuel Beis says, that chashras is an expression of a sieve, because each drop of water is quite separate from every other drop.
Isn't the word kavar similar to a beehive? And a beehive, what's it called? The honeycomb is like with holes in it.
Different segments. They're octagonal.
No, are they eight-sided or post-sided?
They'll be octagonal. And a beehive? I can't remember. Yeah, they're all the different compartments. And each compartment, I think, is where one egg is laid. Is that correct?
So
beehive. So it's related to the word sieve for kavara. Yeah, I think you're right. Now, where will you find beehive? I think you're right. Kivras. Pardon? Are they hexagonal? Hexagonal. Yeah. Uncle Louis, how do you know so much?
It's not age.
It's just chachma. Yeah. Yeah, the hexagonal. Okay, so that's really good. So the word for beehive, I think it is also kavara, yeah, spelt the same way. So that would relate very closely to a sieve, which has also got like a mesh with gaps. Exactly, yeah. Oh, so, now that's Rashi's first pshat. Rashi gives a second pshat, which is that chashras mayim, chashras means thickly knotted. And I think I mentioned this on the Shemini Atzeres. Yeah, the thickly knotted. And the sky is thickly knotted with clouds. So many Rishonim say that these two Pesukim, our Pesukim Tehillim giving cheshchas mayim, the Pesukim Shmuel Beis giving chashras mayim, they really come to the same idea. They really boil down to the same thing, i.e. thick clouds. Whether it's thick clouds which are so thick that they are knotted, they look so they're all knotted together, or whether it's thick clouds and therefore they are dark, cheshchas, whichever way you look at it, comes to the same thing, i.e. very thick clouds containing a lot of water. Then Rashi gives a third pshat, which he quotes from Melachim Aleph. The Pasuk in Melachim Aleph, chapter Zion, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, describes the basins that Shlomo HaMelech put into the first base of Mikdash. So here we are, chapter Zion, Melachim Aleph, chapter Zion, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, where the Pasuk gives a very technical definition of all these basins, and it finishes off, the Chishu Rehem Hakol Mutzog, and many, and the Yalkut Maimonides also quotes this Pasuk, the Chishu Rehem Hakol Mutzog. Now, the whole thing, Hakol Mutzog, the whole basin was made out of cast metal. But the word v'chishereihem means its spokes. And we're talking about the basins where the stands for those basins were on wheels. And those wheels had spokes. And therefore, the v'chishereihem is a reference to the spokes on a wheel, on the wheels. Now, how does that connect into what we're learning? Well, the spokes on the wheel, they go from the circumference of the wheel to the centre of the wheel. And in the centre, they would all crisscross in the centre. Yeah, the spokes of the wheel would all crisscross in the centre. Hi, Jonathan. Yeah, and therefore the chishereihem is an expression of crisscrossing and knotting together. That's the pshat there. So, and then that goes very well with this chashras mayim, being knotting together of clouds because they're all so thickly placed together. Now it comes to a very exciting piece of Gemara, which I said over in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. But I can add something. So something which you didn't say on Shmini Atzeres, I can add something else here. The Gemara says in Tanis, a machlokus in the Gemara in Tanis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and it's a machlokus about the water cycle. The machlokus is given in Tanis, Daf Tes Amud Beis, where Rabbi Eliezer says, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Mimeme Ukainus Hushoseh. The world is irrigated from the waters of the oceans. Meaning, that, and he says that the water cycle, the starting point of the water cycle, is the water in the oceans, which will eventually evaporate, go up into the clouds, and fall down again as precipitation, as rainfall. And he says, and that's how the world is irrigated. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua says, it can't be. Omale Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua challenged Rabbi Eliezer, Ta'alo meme yukainus menuchim heim. The waters of the oceans are salty. Well, when rain falls, it's not salty. So how can you claim that the world is irrigated and the starting point of the water is salt, is the water from the oceans, which is salty? Amalo, Sir Beleza replied to Abishur, Mimatkin be'ovim. They are sweetened in the clouds. Sweetened, i.e. purified. Or desalinated. The water is desalinated in the clouds. That is how Rabbi Eliezer learns. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua Omeno, Kol Olam Kulo Mimayim Ha'Elyonim Hushoseh. The world is irrigated from Mayim Elyonim, from water that's stored up on high. And he quotes the pasuk Limtar Hashemayim Tishtei Moyim, which is a pasuk in Ekev, which I forgot to look up. Limtar Hashemayim Tishtei Moyim. You'll drink water from the rain of the heavens. So Machlokes, seems Machlokes to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about what the starting point of the whole water cycle is. Now, on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the Gemara goes on to discuss Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Eliezer, the whole to the water, the world is irrigated from the ocean water. Where did he get it from? The Gemara asks, it's on the, where is this here, one second. Oh, very good. The Gemara earlier quotes that possibly the Adialem in the Oretz. Absolutely. That's also one of the proofs of Rabbi Eliezer. The Adialem in the Oretz for Hishkoyes Kol Pnei Ha'adama. Possibly we should just have yesterday, Parshas Bereishis. Yeah, how mist rises from the earth. Yeah, and then the evaporation, the vapors, then turn into water drops. Yeah. Oh. Now here we go. In Tanis Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the Gemara goes on. Omamar, it's on the third white line. Omamar, we learned earlier from Rabbi Eliezer, Mimatkin Hein Ba'ovin, that the water is desalinated, that the seawater is desalinated in the clouds. Minole, where does Rabbi Eliezer get this from? And the Gemara answers to Amar Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kesiv. We have one pasuk in Tehillim, which is our pasuk, which says Cheshchas Mayim, the darkness of the clouds. because they and they're dark because they're water. Oveshachokim. Uchasiv, and we have its parallel pasuk in Shmuel base, which is chashras mayim, which means the knotting together of the clouds. Oveshachokim. Says the Gemara, you know what you need to do to get a real pshat in these two words? Tehillim's got cheshchas. Shmuel Beis has got chashras. You know what you do? You combine the two words into one. Shekol kaf, take the kaf out of the word with the kaf, which is cheshchas. Veshodi, and throw that kaf a resh into the word containing the resh, which is the word in Shmuel Beis, chashras. Yeah? You take the chaf out of the word cheshchas and combine it into the word chashras. And what will that give you? The korive, and that will give you the word chachsharas. Spelled ches chof shin resh sof. You merge the two words together. Cheshchas with chashras gives you chachsharas. So Tosfos explains, what does it mean? He says that the word chachsharas is connected to the word, yes, it's actually not so mefurish in Tosfos. It's more in the Marsha, actually. That chachsharas, that the letter ches is interchangeable with the letter hey. And the word chachsharas gives you the word hachsharas, which means preparation. And the idea is that the clouds will prepare the water, will prepare the salty seawater for eventual rainfall. How will they prepare them? By desalinating them. By mimatkin heimba ovin, they're sweetened or they're desalinated or purified in the clouds. So that's the Gemara in Tanis. So you the real pshat, so this is how Rebbe Lezer learns the pasuk. He's quoting this, he quotes Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, that the real pshat is a combination of the two words cheshchas combined with chashras, giving you chachsharas, which is interpreted as hachsharas. Yeah? Now one small kasher on this, and that is very interesting, a kasher brought by the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai says on this, the Ben Ishchai asks a kasher, he says, how come when the Gemara brings this drasha on cheshchas and chashras, how come the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim before quoting the pasuk from Shmuel Beis? Surely Shmuel Beis, which has the word chashras, should precede the pasuk in Tehillim, which contains cheshchas. Surely Nevi'im comes before Kesuvim. Why do we quote cheshchas before we quote chashras? That's the Ben Ishchai's kasha in the Ben Yehoyada, and he answers because he says because we take the word cheshchas, which is the pasuk in Tehillim, and that word is less prominent than the word chashras in Nevi'im. Nevi'im coming before Tehillim has got a certain precedence and maybe even a certain superiority over the pasuk in Kesuvim, over the pasuk in Tehillim. So of these two words, cheshchas in Tehillim and chashras in Shmuel Beis in the Nevi'im, which word has the letter removed and which word takes the added letter? Well, it's the word in Tehillim cheshchas, which loses its chof, and the chof is then transferred and placed into the word in the Nevi'im chashras. So of the two words, chashras, the one in Nevi'im, is more prominent than the word in Tehillim, cheshchas. Why? Because the word chashras remains steadfast and simply obtains the chof, which is removed from the word in Tehillim, cheshchas. So of the two, the one in Nevi'im is given more prominence. The one in Shmuel Beis is given more prominence because that's the word that sticks. Yeah, as the Gemara's Loshen is, here we are, Shekol Kaf, remove the Kaf from the one in Tehillim, for Shodi Aresh, and put it into the word with the Resh, Chashras. So the word in Nevi'im, Chashras, is more prominent. That word stays, that word sticks. immediately, and it gets the chaf from the letter from the word into Tehillim. He says, therefore, since we're going to discuss the removal of the chaf from the word into Tehillim, therefore that is the first pasuk that the Gemara quotes. We start by quoting the word cheshchas, because that's the word we're going to change. That's the word that she calls it mitulteles. That's the word that is dissected, mitulteles. Cheshchas is dissected, and is therefore less prominent than the word that's left intact, chashras, which simply gets the extra chof. And therefore, because we're going to dissect, so the word that we're going to dissect, that's the first word that the Gemara quotes. Therefore, we quote the pasuk in Tehillim before we quote the word, the pasuk in Nevi'im. Who would have thought about the Gemara in that level of detail as to which pasuk we quote first and why it's important? Yeah. Okay. Just a few last things here. The Yalkut Mi'amloi is on our pasuk. Back to Tehillim. The Yalkut Mi'amloi is, again, he quotes the same ideas brought by the Radak and by the Mesillas David, namely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself from the enemies. He also says that this idea of Yashas Choshech Sistro in Yud Beis, possibly Yud Beis, back to our Pasuk in Tehillim, Yud Beis, the word Sistro is HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding not himself but David, hiding David away from David's enemies, so they can't track him down, they can't find him. And of course, we all the time in Shmuel, say for Shmuel, we learn about how Shaul heard where David was, and so he went herring after him, he went to get him, and then again David was able to hide, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to have him on one side of the hill, and Shaul was on the other side of the hill, and so on. And he also points out that going back to the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden away, he says, how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden away? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden away because of the gashmius that we all experience in Olam Hazeh. The chomer, physicality, which is what Olam Hazeh is by definition, the physicality of Olam Hazeh hides HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence from us, makes us less aware of him. And then I saw another pshat, and I think I saw this in the Yalkut Mi'amloi, but I'm not certain, that we, in our pasuk, it speaks about cheshchas mayim, darkness of water in the clouds, followed immediately by minoga, bright light, minoga megdo. So he says, that is a reference to the fact that Moshiach, who is the bright light, who will save humanity and save Klal Yisrael, minoga, the bright light of Mashiach, will come at the time you least expect it, i.e. at a time of immense darkness, cheshchas mayim. And he calls it the darkness before dawn, which is the darkest moment is just before dawn, and that is the darkness of dawn is the moshel for the time when Mashiach will come. The bright light of Mashiach will come at that time. So that's the juxtaposition of cheshchas mayim together with minoga negdo. The bright light of Mashiach will shine at a time of the immense darkness.
I wonder if Sisro is related to the Roman general Sisro.
Oh, why?
Well, he was very oppressive. And if this is the darkness, the Shema concealing himself, or even Sisera.
Could be.
It's very similar sounding.
Sisera and Cicero. Yeah, could be connected.
Sisera.
Yeah.
These all oppressive people.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. You're taking it from this word, Cicero. Ah. Yeah, I'm with you now. Sorry, I wasn't doing that. Right, I don't think so. Sorry. I'll tell you why. Because the name Sisera in Shoftim, yeah, that, I've got it here. The name Sisera is, where is it? It's Shoftim chapter Dalad, I think, isn't it? Yeah? You sure? Let me find this. I don't know if it's a good. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you can see from the word Sisera. Here, there's the name Sisera. Yeah. And it's with two samachs.
Yes.
Whereas ours is Samach and Asaf. You with me?
Yes.
So although they're both sibilant letters, they are in fact such different, they are very different letters.
Good.
Yeah. Maybe Cicero was so named, Roman Emperor Cicero was so named because his parents liked to name him after an illustrious Rosha. Yeah. Okay. Now, a very interesting pshat is given in the Mosad Rav Kook. Mosad Rav Kook, Sefer on Tehillim, speaks about our words, which is Yoshes. Here's a bit of dikduk. Yoshes. Now, the Shoresh of Yoshes is Shinvov Sof. Is the root Shinvov Sof. And you can see two things. It says, first of all, Yoshes in our posuk is in the future tense, while in Shmuel Beis is Vayoshes with the Vav Hepech, which makes it past tense. It says the significance of the future tense is a continuous. You often find a word is put in the continuous form to, is put in the future tense to denote something which is continuous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly hides himself away. Yoshes Choshech Siso. So it's in the future tense. He points out that the word Yoshes, A, the accent is on the Yud, B, the Shin has a Segel. Now that same word Yoshes, a parallel form would be the word Yoshes, with the accent on the Shin and a Tzere on the Shin. So Yoshes has the same Yoshes with the, means exactly the same thing as Yoshes, but the difference would be the accent on the would be the vowel on the Shin. Yoshes has got a Segol on the Shin and the accent on the Yud. Yoshes would have a Tzere on the Shin and the accent on the Shin as well. Both of them are similar forms to the word Yoshes. Oh, you're going to say that? Oh, very good. Go on, where did you find that? Exactly. Yoshes Yodur Alinech. That's in Vayechi? Vayigash. Oh, right, just before Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. Yes. Yeah, Yoshes. And if he quotes, I think he quotes that pasuk. Yeah. Yoshes, what's the lesson? Thank you very much. Yeah, in Vayigash. Thank you. Yeah. So all those words all mean the same thing: Yoshes, Yoshes, and Yoshes. A bit like a word like Yokim, he will establish, would have the same meaning as Yokem. Yokem probably, or Yokem and Yokim. These are all parallel forms. They're all in the Hifil. Here we've got Shinvav Sof, and they're all in the Hifil. So Yoshes equals Yoshes, which also equals Yoshes. Now, why is it here Yoshes? And he answers very simply, because the next word, Choshech, has the accent on the Ches. And therefore it's Nosogacher, the accent on Yoshes, is pushed back onto the Yud. Otherwise you'd have two consecutive syllables with an accent. You'd have Yoshes Choshech, with the accent on Shes and the accent on Cho. And we try to avoid two consecutive stressed syllables. And therefore, the accent goes back onto the Yud, and therefore it becomes Yoshes. That's one shot which he gives, which is really simple, really, that you have Nosogacher, the accent is pushed back. By the way, the phrase Nosogu Acher, I think, appeared in yesterday's Haftarah. Yeah? It's Paskin Yishaya. Nosogu Acher means to slip back. And it's a phrase which was first taught to me by Pinchas Cooper about how in Kriyas HaTorah, sometimes an accent is pushed back into a word, pushed further back in a word, because the next word has the accent at the very beginning. And we don't want to have two consecutive accented syllables. So, that because the word next word is Choshech, the accent on Ches, therefore the accent is pushed back onto the Yud and becomes Yoshes. Now, another thing he says is that simply because in Shmuel Beis, the word is Vayoshes. Now, with the Vav HaHipuch, the form of the word is Vayoshes, and it will not be Vayoshes. Once it takes the Vav HaHipuch, the form of the word would always be Vayoshes, with the accent on the Yud and a Segol on the Shin. And therefore our pasuk echoes that. Even though it doesn't have the Vav HaHipuch, it echoes it by having the exact same voweling and the exact same accentation. Yoshes, accent on the Yud, Segol on the Shin. That's all brought by the Mosad Rav Kook. Oh, now we come on to some Midrashim from the Sefer given to me by Rabbi Yisrael Moshe Grunfeld, the descendant of the Marashag, as quoted by Yaakov Chaim and Eshir on Yom Tov. Yeah. So let me just show you some of the midrashim here. So here we have, Vayet Moshe, he quotes Yoshes Choshech Sisro Sivivosov. He quotes from a Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, Perek Yudalad Simon Beis, where we have Vayet Moshe Es Yodo Al Hashemayim Vayhi Choshech Afelo, about the plague of Choshech, which is possible in Shmos chapter Yud Pasuk Kaf Beis. Where did that darkness in Mitzrayim, where did it come from? What was the source of the Choshech? Machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mechoshech Shamala. It comes from the darkness on high. Sheh Ne'emar, quotes our Pasuk. Yoshes Choshech Sisro Sivivosov Sukoso. So the darkness, the Choshech in Mitzrayim came from on high. And Rabbi Nechemiah disagreed, and Rabbi Nechemiah Omar Mechoshech Shal Gehenim. Moshe extracted the darkness from Gehenim, and it came unto Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's one medrash. Here's another medrash. Chesh Chasmaim Ovei Shechokim, where okay, yeah, discuss. Okay, where the medrash? Where's this medrash from? This is a medrash from Keheles Rabba Simon Aleph Os Zayin, where discusses what's this idea of Chesh Chasmaim Ovei Shechokim. Why are the skies called Shechokim? Like we had of Vegavos Shechokim, just some chesera, Vegavos Shechokim, that Shechokim is a reference to the sky. What's the idea? Why is the sky called Shechokim? And it says because the heavens move the clouds around, and the clouds are constantly changing shape. And you can have a very thick cloud, which is then blown around in the sky and thins out and might even split into a number of different clouds. And he compares it to the... So what's the idea? Shochekim es hamayim. It grinds up. The clouds are ground. And I saw the same thing as well in the Masad Rav Kook Sefer, who quotes the pasuk about the Ketores. Well, we have a pasuk in Kisisa, yeah, Shemos chapter Lamed pasuk Lamed Vav, where we're told about the Ketores, for Shochak Tom Imena Hodik, you shall grind it up very finely. So the sky is called Shochokim because it is Shochik, it grinds the clouds. The clouds are ground up into smaller clouds or smaller elements, or wispy clouds. And that's why the heaven is called Shechokim. And the same idea is brought here. But he quotes, the Medrash here, mentions that the clouds are ground up like the stomach will grind up food. And quotes, speaks about the stomach of an animal, the hemsase stomach, and also speaks about the dakin of the intestines. So all these, the stomach and the intestines all serve to grind the food up more and more and more, like the sky grinds, in quotes, grinds up the clouds into smaller elements. Different medrash brought by the Alkut Shemoni is Chesh Chasmayim, again quoting the Al Pasuk Chesh Chasmayim and the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis Chesh Chasmayim. He says, "B'sha'ol at the time shehein, at a time when the clouds to'anin es hamayim, at a time when the clouds carry the water, he machshichim min hamayim, they are dark. That's why it's called Chesh Chasmayim. Va'achakach, and after that, choshim osam le'olam, then they precipitate them onto the world. Choshim precipitate, which again is related to the word that Rashi defined as being like a sieve." And one other medrash here, and then we'll close on that, and that is, yeah, Ovei Shechokim. Ovei Shechokim. This is from the Yalkut Shemoni in Yecheskel, Remez, Shin Lametes, but I'm pretty sure the same is in the Gemara in Chagigah. I think it's Daf Ches Amid Beis, but can't quite remember. It's definitely on an Amid Beis, and you've heard this. It was quoted in a Shem Brachos Josh a few times. Amid Shlokish Shiva Rikim Hain, there are seven heavens or seven skies. For Elu Hain, it gives the whole list of them: Vilon, Shechokim, Rokia, Zavul, Moon, Mochon. I'm not sure how you read the last word, Arevos maybe, or Arevos. And what happens in the Shechokim? What takes place in the Shechokim heaven? Shebo Rechayim Omdos. there are millstones standing there for Tilchanos Mon Latzadikim Me'osid Lavo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu grinds up their mon for Tzadikim to eat Me'osid Lavo as and when in the future. So as part of the reward for Tzadikim, they get the chance to eat mon. So that's why the Shechakim are called Shechakim, because what goes on there is an act of Shechika, of grinding them on for the Tzadikim to eat. And we'll leave it there.